From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. In Washington, I'm Linda Wertheimer.
I'm Noah Adams.
And in New York, this is Robert Siegel. The FBI has released a list of 19 names. The Bureau believes that they were the men who hijacked the four airplanes on Tuesday. The list organizes the hijackers into three teams of five each and one team of four. The FBI believes that seven of these men were pilots. NPR's Mike Schuster joins us now. Mike, we now have the names of the hijackers, or at least the people the FBI believes were the hijackers. What, if anything, can we glean from that?
Well, the list has confirmed many of the names that surfaced in news reports after the last 2 days, added many more. It gives us a schematic idea of how the hijackers organized themselves, the three teams of five, the one of four. That might lead you to wonder whether there's another name to be added to the list that would give you four teams of five. Terrorism experts have suggested the teams were organized in a way that several hijackers with weapons were given the job of intimidating those on board, and while the pilots were left to fly the plane. But there's a puzzling picture on American Airlines Flight 11 out of Boston. That was the first one to hit the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. Four of the five are identified as pilots, and only one pilot is identified on each of the other flights. And actually, it's hard to figure out what is the meaning of that. Also, from other sources, Robert, there are suggestions that some of the pilots might have been from Saudi Arabia and were enrolled in flight training courses with some formal sponsorship from Saudi Airlines.
Now, the FBI knows a lot about the people who were involved in, say, the embassy bombings in East Africa in 1998. Given that group and the people they've identified now, any glaring differences or great similarities between the two groups?
Many glaring differences. In past operations like the embassy bombings, the people who carried it out, the attacks were young, not well educated, not well off economically, generally without stable lives. In this case, especially those who were training in the U.S. as pilots, they were in their 30s, some had wives and children, some were well educated, they had a high degree of skill. They also appear to have plenty of money, more than in the embassy bombing case, to rent pleasant homes, live for months, take expensive courses at flight training schools, and travel freely as well, in some cases from Florida to Germany, back to Florida, then to Boston, or to Canada and back down to Boston. So there are real indications of a different breed of terrorist here, it seems to me.
Now, what about the suspects, the others who were at large? Any arrests yet, or does the FBI believe that there are still some people out there?
No arrests yet, and it appears that the FBI may believe that there are more out there, although today in a press conference, neither Attorney General John Ashcroft nor the FBI Director Robert Mueller would confirm that. But in their news conference, they did say that the FBI had sent a list of 100 names of people the FBI wants to talk to about the investigation to all police departments and FBI field offices in the country. The FBI Director Mueller says there have been no arrests, as I say, but they've executed hundreds of search warrants around the country, and many people have been detained, mostly on immigration status. The FBI has also sent special agents to a number of airports to try to resolve conflicts like the one that occurred in New York's airports yesterday when some people were detained and there was a scare of another possible hijacking.
And it turned out there was no connection, evidently.
That's what federal officials say.
Still, do we know anything more other than the information from the cell phone calls that were made out of that one plane that crashed in Pennsylvania? Anything more about what actually happened on board the planes or how they were hijacked?
Well, from the list, maybe something. One theory among some experts is that there were several independent cells operating that were isolated from one another so that if one was discovered, its members couldn't divulge the whole operation. But the FBI list of the hijackers indicates nearly all those who seized one of the flights in Boston and the one from Newark, which is the one that crashed in Pennsylvania, lived in Delray Beach, Florida. So it's reasonable to guess that they knew each other. And when you combine that with the fact that one credit card was used to buy seven seats on both planes that departed Boston, I think you're left with a picture that they may all have known each other but maintained extraordinary secrecy anyway.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
NPR's Mike Schuster.